Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Jonathan Darman is a journalist and author who writes about American politics and history. His new book is Landslide, LBJ and Ronald Reagan and the Dawn of a New America. The book tells the story of two giants of American politics, Lyndon Johnson and Ronald Reagan, and shows how, from 1963 to 1966, these two men, the same age and driven by the same heroic ambitions, changed American politics forever. In the tumultuous days after the Kennedy assassination, Johnson and Reagan each, in turn, seized the chance to offer the country a new vision for the future. Jonathan Darman is a former political correspondent for Newsweek magazine, and we welcome him this morning to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me.
Again, the new book is Landslide, LBJ and Ronald Reagan and the Dawn of a New America. I have to confess that when I started reading this, I was really shocked that these two men were so close in age, which I assume is something you hear all the time.
Yeah, they're two presidents that we're not really used to thinking about together. But when you think about it, it actually makes quite a good deal of sense. They are the iconic liberal president of the late 20th century and the iconic conservative. If you're a liberal and you're looking for a moment in recent history where a sort of ideological passion and political opportunity are met, that's the Johnson presidency. And if you're a conservative, the comparable moment is the Reagan presidency. But when we think about the fact that they're in fact contemporaries, born less than 3 years apart, we realize that that means that they came of age in the same America and their worldviews are shaped by the same events. So then we can look at the visions that they each brought to the country and realize that they're really in dialogue with one another. And so what I tried to do in telling this story was to look at 1,000 days where their stories really overlap, where they're both trying to capture the country's attention at the end of consensus politics by producing a new vision of government that's going to inspire people and change people's minds. And you can really look at the 50 years that follow as a competition between those two ideas that they both put out there.
And at this time, they are both labeled Democrats.
Johnson, of course, is a famous Democrat, iconic liberal Democrat. Reagan, by the 1960s, has officially become a Republican. He had a long journey to get there. He started out as not just a Democrat, but a passionate liberal Democrat. In the 30s and 40s, he was someone who idolized Franklin Roosevelt. In the late 40s into the 1950s, as the Cold War rises, he becomes passionate about anti-communism. And over time, that leads him sort of inevitably to the right. He doesn't actually officially become a Republican until 1962. But he's involved with Republican causes and certainly deep in the conservative movement in the late 50s and early 60s. So by 1963, when this story starts, Reagan is a passionate conservative who is obsessed with politics, but who's really out of the limelight because the conservative movement is quite, you know, on the fringe in America. And so what's really amazing about his journey in this story is going from this sort of fringe set of ideas to governor of California in just 3 years' time in face of resurgent Republicanism and a national politician who's going to go on to become president.
These are both men who are considered in both their demeanor and in the characters that they portrayed as cowboys.
They are, and I think that's an important common thing. There are two different kinds of cowboys. Johnson is a rancher. He comes from the Texas Hill Country. And for him, you know, ranching means getting down in the muck with your animals and screaming at them. And that's very much reflected in his personal style. He is famously a master legislator who corralled other senators in order to force legislation through. And he is very much a hands-on leader. Reagan is a rancher who raises hunters and jumpers. And for him, the iconic rancher is the man on the horse sort of riding up on the ridge, removed from the strife, but setting the tone and sort of this principled idealistic figure. And that's really the tone that he sets both in his political campaigns as governor of California and eventually as president. He's not like Johnson trying to manage every details. He wants to sort of state the broad principles clearly and let others sweat the small stuff.
And because of the background, because of the closeness in age, they were brought up under similar circumstances, so you think that their worldview would be similar.
What's interesting is their shared sort of passion for the example of Franklin Roosevelt. He is a hero to both of them, and that makes sense because they're both young men in the 1930s who have the same sort of strong need, which is to feel the eyes of the world upon them. And if you're interested in politics and world affairs in the 1930s, Franklin Roosevelt is the sort of grand idea of how you accomplish that. But they each take different things away from FDR's legacy. For Johnson, the important thing about FDR is everything that he was able to accomplish, all the programs that he was able to force through that really transformed people's lives and transformed the nature of American government. And that's what he wants to do when he assumes the presidency in November of 1963, is to be a president who is in many ways as great as FDR and fulfills the legacy of FDR by forcing programs through and really bringing about massive change in people's relationship with their government. Reagan also heroizes FDR, but for him, the important thing about FDR was his ability to connect with millions and millions of Americans who he would never know and never even see. Reagan was starting out actually as a radio announcer in the 1930s, and he loved listening to FDR's fireside chats and listening to this man who was able to, you know, talk as though he knew people that he would never ever encounter. And for him, that's sort of the magic of Roosevelt and what he himself wants to do in politics. And in the 1960s, we see him using that to understand the shift in public mood and really connect with the country in a time when it's going through some real turmoil.
We've talked a little bit about this in the types of cowboys, but there's the personality and then there's the ideology. And obviously these men had two very different personalities. I'm interested in how much they were aware of one another at the time. I would think that Reagan would be more aware of LBJ than the other way around in doing your research.
That's sort of one of the things that I love about this story is you have two characters, one of whom is really singularly focused on the other for a good deal of it. That's Reagan. Reagan starts out this story very far from the center of politics. In fact, the story begins the day after the Kennedy assassination. And Reagan, at that point, is still actually working as an actor, and he's not working as an actor in the way that he would like. He's working in the only work he can get. He's playing a bad guy in a dark remake of Ernest Hemingway's The Killers, and not even a heroic bad guy. He's a sort of conniving, corrupt gangster who gets his way by cheating and stealing. And that's the part Reagan hates. He always sort of sees himself as the good guy. But that's what he's doing at where this story begins, because it's really the only path for him to any kind of stardom. So for him, as he looks at politics and what he sees is going on in the country, he's very much concerned about this sort of encroaching federal government in Washington, which he believes is not being tough enough on communism overseas. And Lyndon Johnson, with his grand ambitions to sort of fulfill the Rooseveltian progressive vision, is the embodiment of all of that. So he really spends a lot of time in this story talking about him. But then there's a wonderful moment as the story reaches a climax in 1966 where Reagan is sort of coming out of nowhere as this political phenomenon, and Johnson, who has been obsessed about all of these other threats along the way, including Bobby Kennedy and the plots from the Kennedy family, certainly the war in Vietnam, the potential for backlash in the country, all of a sudden becomes aware that there's this political phenomenon out in California called Ronald Reagan, who is about to defeat the incumbent Governor Pat Brown, who in many ways represents a lot of the Johnson policies, and in that defeat will sort of signal a turn away from Johnson's entire great society. And when Johnson becomes aware of that, he realizes that there's this real threat to not only the California governorship, but his whole vision for how the country ought to be governed. So really what Reagan does in the decades that follow is dismantle a lot of that that work that Johnson did in the 1960s.
One of the things that I found fascinating in the book is this realization that these political parties are always reinventing themselves. It is very cyclical, and there's always that time where they're going to have to kind of hunker down in a room and figure out how they want to portray themselves in the future.
Yeah, I mean, as I've written this book in the last few years, there's been this sort of constant conversation about today's Republican Party,
right,
and its need to, you know, find new ideas and reinvent itself and find a way to reconnect with the people. What's so striking about this story and looking at Reagan's journey from 1963 to 1966 is how really the way that parties figure their way out of the wilderness is to focus on winning. That was something that Reagan was always very focused on. In 1964, he was very involved with Barry Goldwater's campaign for the presidency. He was a passionate conservative and a believer in Goldwater. But he was different from Goldwater in that for Reagan, the important thing was how do you win over as many people in the middle as possible? So in the 1964 California Republican primary, where Goldwater is running against Nelson Rockefeller in a very, very bloody, divisive fight, Reagan works for Goldwater. And then when Goldwater ekes out a victory, Reagan goes to the victory party and stands up in front of the Goldwater supporters and says, all right, our next job is, you know, go, as he puts it, make love to Democrats, because we don't want to win a convention. We want to win an election. And that's not what that crowd in that room wanted to hear. They booed Reagan for saying that. But that's really the way that Reagan approached politics then and as he approached it in the years that followed. So then when he runs for governor of California in 1966, he is presenting himself as a conservative, but really he's focused on how is he going to unify the Republican Party and be able to attract Democratic voters. And in the end, that works really well for him because he wins by a million votes, nearly a million votes in 1966, and is inventing a coalition that the Republicans are going to use in the next three decades.
It is also a rebuilding in a tumultuous time. And that, in reading this, to me seemed like it would be easier for Reagan to do it on a smaller scale in the state of California, as opposed to a national stage where not only are you looking at what the future is going to be, but there is such calamity and tumult at every corner, you don't know what is around the bend.
Yeah, and I think that's another sort of source of resonance with today. I mean, we look at some of our elections in the last few years. There's this, you know, moment like the 2008 election, right, where the country seemed to be heading in one direction and was very much defining itself around hope and this idea of, you know, the new Obama era. And then just 2 years later, you have the Tea Party election, which is going in very much the opposite direction. 2012 is one direction. Now we're heading toward a midterm, which may go in the other. And so I think that is symptomatic of an age where the world is tumultuous and is changing fast. You have all of these forces that are right up next to each other because people just want anything that looks like certainty. And that's an opportunity for a political leader who can step forward with a new vision. And I think that's part of the reason that Reagan resonates so much in California is he looks at what Johnson has promised to the nation. And the moment that those promises appear to be, you know, coming to be not true in people's eyes, and he sees that there's an opportunity to sort of get people to think maybe government isn't the answer to our problems. Maybe we can solve some of our problems by limiting government instead.
The other thing I came away from in the book, and we'll end on this, which is these are two incredible characters. I mean, they're larger than life. And you do have to ask that question of, well, do they make them like they used to? I mean, will we have a political character like these two men again?
You know, it's interesting. You hear people say a lot, particularly with President Obama and Lyndon Johnson. You know, President Obama is frequently on the negative end of comparisons to LBJ because LBJ was this sort of relentless legislator who was obsessed with the legislative process, and President Obama is seen as being detached and professorial. With Johnson, that really comes from just a general love of the process of legislating, which is rare in anyone. And that's not the only model for success in the presidency. I think what both Johnson and Reagan have is a strong sense of who they are and what they do well. And they don't try to be everything to everyone. And that's really what brings them a fair amount of success in the 60s. And that's really not something that we see that much of today, is politicians who show a sense of self-awareness and a sense of their own limitations. And I think if we had a little bit more of that, they might be able to get more done.
The name of the book is Landslide: LBJ and Ronald Reagan at the Dawn of a New America. The book is published by Random House. Jonathan Darman, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
It was a lot of fun. Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.